Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
It's really nice to be here. Thank you, Pastor David and Pastor Kim and everybody. I feel at home here. What a great church. You know the good news? In 1983 was a great year for the church because Pastor Blunt started this church in 1983, and my wife and I started Hillsong Church 3 months before them in 1983. Anyone here born in 1983? So nice to have David Crank here. He's a great friend. He and his wife, Nicole, have been great friends to Bobby and I, and especially over the last couple of tough years. So I love you, and I don't know many pastors who in the same city would leave their congregation to come and to be with you guys, and with Pastor David, and with me. We're honored. And as for the pastor here, he's the main man. I mean, that is a serious beard. I came here years ago with a worship team from Hillsong. Anyone happen to remember that? It was a long time ago. I don't know whether anyone remembers how long ago, but he didn't have that beard then, but I've been figuring that he maybe hasn't shaved since. So I love that beard. I'm jealous. Lord, I claim that anointing. Amen. Father, we're glad to be in your house. Lord, I'm grateful for all you have done, you are doing, and you're about to do in this great church and in this great city. Lord, I pray today that you'll have your way in our lives. I know that every single person who is here or is online is here in your timing. You have a purpose, you have a plan for every single life. And we say, have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 One last thing before I get started. I hope you can understand Australian. Yeah? Because in heaven, everyone speaks like this. So this is a dress rehearsal. Right now. Okay, you guys can be seated. Thanks so much. Dubai. It's a city in the Middle East. I don't know whether anyone here has been to Dubai, but it's a modern, shining, gleaming city. kind of got the biggest of everything. And that includes their airport. The airport in Dubai is something else. And in that airport, there's an escalator that's easily the longest escalator I've ever seen. I mean, it just goes and goes and goes, and there's always hundreds of people on it. Well, one time where I was sitting in the restaurant, I was just observing that escalator. Like I say, hundreds of people going by, rushing to their planes, I guess. But on this day, there was one woman, and she looked particularly nervous. It's like she had never, ever seen a moving sidewalk before. She kind of looked really, really unsure. And it was clear, her whole body language. And then the closer she got to the end of that escalator, the more panicky she became. Until eventually, she's kind of holding on, and she takes a couple of tiny steps, 1 inch off the end of the escalator, and stops. Well, nobody behind her could stop. They were still on the moving walkway. So you can imagine the carnage. Literally, there were bodies piled up and bags going everywhere. It was a crazy sight. And there's a moral to this story. And the moral is, when something is over, don't stop. The end of an era is not the completion of a destiny. Thank you. The best is yet to come. You imagine being there at the cross. We spoke about the cross and, of course, the resurrection last weekend, but the cross is just as powerful this weekend. And so there, that scene, it's a horrific scene, and there weren't too many people there. The disciples weren't there. They had kind of disappeared. Jesus' mother, a few other women, just a few people. And can you imagine how it must have been for them when Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Literally, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine when Jesus said, "Into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit," which, by the way, in any season is the best thing you can do with your spirit. Amen. Put it in God's hands. But what about when Jesus said, "It's finished"? Can you imagine that? I mean, with only human knowledge, yes, Old Testament prophets and messianic psalms, Old Testament scriptures pointed to a coming Savior. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," it must have looked like it was finished. He was dying an agonizing death. And now he says, "It's finished." It would be easy to think all your hopes, all your dreams, all your belief for the future, it's over. But you and I, New Testament believers, we know that was finished. Amen. What the cross purchased, that was finished. But as for Jesus, he was only just getting started. And in your life, maybe a season finishes. It comes to an end. But God's not finished. The hardest thing is to see what's around the corner. Easy to look back and see what's left behind, but life is full of seasons. There are people here. There are people right now. And this is a word in season for you because of the season that you're in. Something's come to an end. It may be a season of study. It may be related to work. Maybe you became, do you use this word in America, redundant. In other words, they laid you off. Maybe a client in your business, someone you relied on, and suddenly that contract comes to an unexpected end. Perhaps even a relationship, a marriage devastated, and you never ever imagined that would happen. It's a season that's come to an end, and in that season, it is so difficult to see ahead. I mean, my wife and I have been through a challenging couple of years, and seasons came to an end. We loved our home in Australia, in Sydney. We had a beautiful home, and on a bush, look at an Australian bush, and it was quiet and peaceful, and I loved it there. Our kids grew up there. All their friends came around. It's full of happy memories. And we never, ever imagined we'd sell our house. You know, I just thought the kids one day would inherit it. Not for a long time. That's what I thought. But a year ago, we sold our home. But I can honestly say, I drove away. And I didn't look back because I don't want to live my life looking back. I'm only 70. Life is still in front of me. I got too many good years left. So I don't want to look back. We've got some incredible things to look back on. But God has greater things ahead. When something is over, don't stop. One more time. When something is over, don't stop. The end of an era is not the completion of a destiny. And yes, unexpected things come into our lives when we're singing about disappointments. I think, in fact, in the scripture from the Passion that you read, it spoke about disappointments. But what I do know is this. Disappointment is simply a tactic of the devil to get you off appointment. Dis anything. Dis, you know, courage, discourage. You're heartened, you're disheartened. God's got an appointment for you. He's got an assignment for you. He fills your life with calling and purpose. He got so much ahead of you, but often we can't see it. Proverbs 15, verse 19. It talks about life for the upright and says the way of life for the upright is a highway. And it sounds so easy, no twists and turns, just a highway, just the freeway. We were riding down the freeway. You know, just easy, easy. Just wouldn't it be great if life was like that? But five verses later, it says the way of life winds upwards for the wise. Life has some unexpected twists. Maybe yours doesn't. Maybe you're different. Maybe you're the only person on earth who's never had any unexpected turns, any unexpected twists. And you look like that guy. You just look happy. You haven't got a care in the world. Just riding down the freeway. You do look happy. I want some of that juice. You're a good man. Amen. Amen. And God's got it. God's got it. Yeah. Yeah. People you love, and sometimes could be the cause of anxiety, but God's got it in Jesus' name. So, yes, life has some unexpected turns and twists, and it's not what we thought was coming. A blind corner is called blind for a reason, because you can't see around the corner. And life has those moments, it has those seasons, and it's easy to question God. It seems like God is absent, but I'll tell you this, sometimes God is silent, but he's never absent. He is omnipresent. He's incapable of being absent because he's everywhere. And not only everywhere in terms of everywhere around the globe and in the universe and in creation now, but everywhere in terms of the past, the present, and the future. Amen. He's in the past, he's here now, and he is already a step ahead of you because he is in the future. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a calling. God has an appointment for your life. And listen to it, the scripture. It doesn't say the way of life spirals downwards for the wise. When we live with wisdom, we live coming out of those unexpected seasons, moving upwards. The way of life winds upwards for the wise. Paul said, I'm pressing on for the upward call. Let's believe that God's got great things in front of us, and we're moving on, we're moving up, we're moving toward the purpose of an almighty God. Yes, let's believe that. God, he knows you. He knows every single detail of your life. And it's true. The devil loves to work in the dis. Holy Spirit puts courage in you. The devil will try to discourage you. God has given you a God-given appointment. Your appointment and mine may look different. For some of you, you're called to business. Others, you're called maybe to hospitality or to caring about other people or whatever the myriad of things that God has for us. You do have an appointment for your life. And if the enemy can use discouragement or diss anything, certainly disappointment, to get you off that appointment, he will do it. I love the fact that before Jesus ascended into heaven, after saying it's finished, he descended into the belly of the earth. And what did he do down there in hell? He wasn't just doing nothing. He was winning for you the title More Than Conquerors. That's what he was doing, is he conquered sin and death and the works of the devil and his darkness. That's what he was doing. And the Greek word for more than conquerors is hypernikemen. And I love that. Hyper, well, you may know someone who's hyper. Maybe you've got a child who's hyper. Hyper means over the top. Nike, we wear them on our feet. Swoosh, victory. Amen. Over the top victory. We had a men's conference not so long ago, and I talked about hyper Nike men, because that's the word. It's not just talking about men, but I call them over the top victorious men, because that's what they are, and that's what you are. Through the promise and the power of Jesus Christ, an over the top victorious person. But we've got to determine, I'm not coming out of these winds and twists spiraling downwards. I'm not cooperating with the devil and his dark demons. I'm cooperating with the work of the Lord and the promise of the Almighty. And I believe in Jesus' name that the best really is to come. I mean, in a crowd this size, I'm sure there would be people here who at some point in your life went through the crushing disappointment of a miscarriage. Can't understand it. It breaks your heart. Disappointment, other people heartache, a broken marriage, a broken relationship. It's the end of a season you never expected. Crushing. Maybe for other people here, well, you didn't get the job. You missed out on the promotion. I love that declaration, by the way, over the giving. That's a great declaration. Surprise checks in the mail. I'm like, I'm claiming that one. Yeah. I'm going to be checking my mail every day this week. Yeah. And so, season's come to an end. The bank said no. Maybe if you're a young guy, she said no. My wife Bobby did that to me when we were dating. She went to a Christian retreat camp, and the senior pastor, who was a big deal in New Zealand where we both originally came from, he gave her a prophetic word. And the prophetic word was that I was second best. What? I still wonder to this day who was first best. But the worst thing is, my wife, we've been married 47 years. I think she wonders too. Not really. So the other pastor said to her, you know, I just see a big red stop sign. So then I was a youth pastor in a little church. He went to the big church in the city. And she came to see me. I lived in a house with 9 single guys. I could tell by the look on her face, she wasn't coming with good news. And sure enough, she dumped me because she was told I was second best. Well, I was crushed. I was devastated. Brokenhearted. And well, it turns out that after 3 months, I found out she was too. And she missed me, so I plucked up the courage and I went to see that big deal pastor. I was just young and I was so intimidated, my lip was quivering. Hard to look bold and confident when your lip's giving you up like that. That's how I used to get when I was about to fight someone at school. I was trying to look tough, and suddenly my lip would start quivering. Not a good look. Well, I went to see the pastor, and I told him how we were both still feeling, and he said to me, well, what do you do when you come to a stop sign? He said, you look both ways, and then you go. Well, he didn't have to tell me twice. Like I say, we've been married 47 years, but disappointment. Life has those seasons, it has its difficulties, it has those challenges. And perhaps someone betrayed your trust. It could be a whole host of things, but what I do know, God's called you to wind upwards into his promise, into his purpose, and into his plan. You are on appointment. It's incredible what the devil will try to use. My father was my hero. I loved my dad. He was a preacher, he was a man of God, he was an evangelist, he moved in the gifts of the Spirit, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. And when I was a little kid, I'd go to the airport with my mum and watch my dad fly off somewhere. And I used to think, I want to be like him. I want to do that one day. I loved my dad. And so in 1999, 25 years ago, now I was 45 years of age, and life was going well. And then I find out that my father had been accused of abusing a little boy. It had happened right back in the early 1970s. At the time, I was 15. And like everybody else, I was entirely oblivious to it, had no idea. Until that day when I was 45, when for the first time, I heard that, well, 30 years before then, over 50 years ago now, that my father had abused a boy. Now I know my father was a serial pedophile. Well, that's not something I grew up expecting or knew how to deal with, and its toll on me and on my brothers and sisters, on one of five, was devastating. And it started to get worse because suddenly a false narrative started appearing from some politicians, from the Australian secular press at first, and that narrative kept growing and growing. First thing I did when I found out was tell the board of what became Hillsong Church, and then to tell the board of the church my father had pastored in Sydney, and then to go to the national executive of the denomination, the movement we were a part of, which was the Assemblies of God in Australia, which I led for 12 years. And at that time, I was so I went to that executive, I told leaders in our church, ultimately I told a whole Hillsong conference with tens of thousands of people there that my father had sexually abused someone. But I started getting accused of cover-up. They started painting pictures like this happened at Hillsong Church, but it actually happened decades before Hillsong Church even existed. I didn't hear the complaint from a 7-year-old boy. He was now a 37-year-old man, an adult, who didn't want the police involved and pleaded that the police not be involved. And of course, he was 37. Either he or one of his family or some of the other pastors who in fact did know about this before me but did nothing about it. Any of them could go to the police, but because I guess, my profile is big in Australia, people started going after me. So now, 15 years after that, 2014, there's a national inquiry in Australia into institutional sexual abuse. So in other words, everyone from the Boy Scouts to the Salvation Army to the Catholic Church was under inquiry, mainly because of the Catholic Church. But I got called up in front of that inquiry. It's called a Royal Commission. And it's not a trial, but it felt like a trial. And so that was 2014. 2016, I find out I'm being investigated by the police over a law that only exists in our state, doesn't exist anywhere else in Australia, and it doesn't exist here in the US, or I don't know whether there's anything quite like it. So that's 2016, I find out the police are investigating me. Two times they dropped the investigation, but then the press would tell another one of their false stories, put the pressure on, they'd start investigating again. Until in 2021, I found out in 1999, it happened in the 70s, inquiry in 2014, find out the police are investigating me, 2016. Ultimately, I get charged in 2021 with cover-up. I hate pedophilia, as I'm sure you do too. I loathe it. And so can you imagine what it feels like to be accused in front of a nation and ultimately internationally of covering up pedophilia. When I was a 15-year-old boy, I knew nothing, and the stories just kept growing and growing and growing. Lies and lies and lies, till it became documentaries and all other sorts of other things. Well, in December 2022, I began my trial. Every time my wife and I and any of my family walked up the front steps of the courtyard of the court, we were jostled by dozens of press. My daughter was pushed against the wall to get her out of the way so they could get to me. My wife was pushed and shoved. And this happened day after day after day. Until after 3 weeks, it was just right on Christmas, they suspended it to June last year. So then had to go back and again, more days of trial, a couple more days, until eventually last year in December, in August, just a few months ago, the judge found me not guilty. As a matter of fact, he made a judgment that was 90 minutes long, and he literally said, I find this the exact opposite to a cover-up. So I was vindicated, I was acquitted, but I'll tell you right now, if ever there was an attack on a God-given appointment, that was it. And so I can talk out of some area of experience. And there's lots more stories I can tell you. Mistakes I made, other things that happened, the way we've been lied about, politicians putting pressure on, media putting pressure on, literally lying, misrepresenting. So I know what I'm talking about. Maybe for you, it's very different. Your story looks nothing like that, but you have a story. And the enemy would love to destroy and attack God's purpose in your life. I love the fact that we don't just live life and that our job is separate from our faith. The Bible says that he has saved you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, I think, and it says, who has saved you and called you, not according to your own good works, but according to his purpose and grace. One verse, it says, he has saved you, he has called you, he has purposed you, and he has graced you. How good is that? That's you it's talking about. He saved you, he has called you, he has purposed you, and he has graced you. You are saved for purpose. You are called to purpose, and he graces you for God-given purpose. That is powerful. And so that's what your appointment is. Well, are you going to get thrown off by a season of uncertainty, a season of challenge, a season of difficulty, a heartbreak, discouragement, whatever it really is? I love watching people following their God-given appointment. Your pastor and I were talking before the first service, and he was asking us what we're doing, and I was telling him about ministry we do in India, not us personally, but that we support and help. And it's a great story, because Biju is a good friend of mine. It's a ministry called Vision Rescue. And one time Biju, he's a pastor's son, his father, a great man, he planted 3,000 churches in India. Well, Biju, he's on a rickshaw going through Mumbai in the heart of India, tens of thousands of people in the streets. And the rickshaw stops on one particular intersection, and there's a little girl there begging. And Biju sees her begging, and his heart goes out to her. And so he gave her some money. But then when the rickshaw took off, he looked back and he could see the crowd around that little girl just steal the money out of her hand and run off. And Biju says, he said to God, God, what are you doing about this? And he said, the Holy Spirit said to him, Biju, what are you doing about this? And at that moment, he got a hold of his God-given appointment. And so he started a ministry, Vision Rescue. And you know what they do? They bought buses and drove them into the heart of rubbish tips and where the street kids and horrific poverty. And what they would do is they'd put kids in the bus and educate them. These are kids who are illiterate, so they would send them to school in the bus, then they would feed them. And it's an amazing miracle. I've been there many times, and to see the work that they're doing and to see a man who is on God-given appointment, but I also know him well enough to know the devil has done everything, every strategy you can imagine to disappoint him. But he's not going to stop. He's going to keep going. And you're not in India. Maybe you haven't had a false criminal charge come against you. But we all have stories. You have a story. I have a story. And the enemy, he would love to undermine God's purpose for your life. But listen, I love this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Peter the apostle is speaking, and listen to what he says. He said, so be truly glad. Are you with me, friends? Hello? So be truly glad. Glad. Listen to this. There is wonderful joy ahead. What is there? There is wonderful joy ahead. Oh, that's what the Word of God said. But then, though we must endure many trials, many obstacles, many challenges, it's the seasons of life. Though we must endure many trials, but listen, for a little while. What right now may seem like forever, what might right now hard to see what's ahead, what right now you don't understand, it is only for a while. There is wonderful joy ahead. Oh, take a hold of that. Let that hit your spirit. There is wonderful joy ahead. Maybe you have to endure many trials. That's the way the devil works. He doesn't usually come at you from one direction. He's the author of confusion and will try to come at you from every direction. But I want to speak it prophetically into your world, into your life, into your circumstance. Yes, you may endure many trials, but there is wonderful joy ahead. And it is for a little while. Grab a hold of that. It is for a little while. The Apostle Paul, he challenged the Corinthians. The Corinthian church was out of order, and he rebuked them and he challenged them. They got offended. I mean, he wrote them an email. It was called an epistle back then. He wrote them a letter. And they were hurt. They were offended. Now listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. This is where Paul says, "But even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while." It is only for a while. Amen. It is only for a while. There is wonderful joy ahead. Let me finish with a story. It's kind of funny. It wasn't funny back then, but when I was a young preacher, I used to travel in Australia and often go to rural country towns, small towns, and I'd be preaching in the church there. And back in those days, often they didn't put you in a hotel. In fact, they never put you in a hotel. You stayed in the pastor's house, which was kind, but I don't know about you, but you're never 100% comfortable staying in someone else's house. I mean, you can't walk around in your underwear. You could, but you might get arrested. I mean, what if you're using the bathroom and someone else needs the bathroom? Now, you're not just 100% comfortable. You're on your best behavior. You can't burp. There's a whole lot of other things you can't do in someone else's house. But it was nice. They had a guest room and they gave me the guest towel and face cloth in my room, a bar of soap. And so everything was good, but I got up Sunday morning in those days with my suit and my white shirt and my tie. And I thought, I'm going to get up early before it's light, while it's still dark, and I'm going to go and use the bathroom before anyone else needs it. It was dead silent, so that's what I did. I grabbed my suit and my tie and my white shirt, and I made my way down to the bathroom. Had a shower. Everything was going good until I finished my shower, totally naked, dripping wet, and I realized I left the towel down in the bedroom. Well, what do you do? I mean, I either put my shirt and suit on soaking wet, but what I did was I just opened the door to the bathroom slightly. I opened it and I looked down the long hallway, timber floor, and my room was at the far end of the hallway to the right. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I go full speed, I could be there in less than 2 seconds. And so that's what I did. I grabbed my suit, grabbed my shirt and my tie, stood back, and one more time, I looked down the hallway. The coast was clear. So this story is 100, no exaggeration. What happened is what happened. So I opened the door, no sign of life anywhere. And I took off down the hall towards my room, and I get halfway down, and suddenly the door handle next to the door that I was staying in started to open. I'm full speed down the hallway, dripping wet, timber floor, and at that moment I'm like, what did I do? It's like it went into slow motion. The door handle is just slowly opening. So I made a fatal decision at full speed. Dripping wet on a timber floor, I decided to turn around and go back. Well, it wasn't pretty, because the next moment, whoop, down I went, naked, lying on the floor, humiliated, with my head down, and I heard that door slowly open. There was a pause, and it slowly closed again. I don't know who was there. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what they didn't see. An hour later, I was having breakfast with mum and dad and, you know, the teenage kids. They didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. No one has ever said anything, even since. And I was so embarrassed about that story, I never told anybody, including my wife, for 15 years. And I've still never, ever admitted exactly where it was or whose house it was. All I know is when I, full speed, decided to turn around and go back, it was a fatal decision. And of course, here's the moral again. When something's over, don't stop. Amen. Keep pressing on. Don't stop. The end of an era is not the completion of a destiny. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you shout hallelujah? Let's stand together. Everybody, let's stand. Praise God. I love it here. It's great. I might join this church. Yeah, best church in St. Louis. Easily. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. There are people here, and this was absolutely a word in season. A season's coming to an end. Maybe a heartbreak. Maybe something you didn't expect. And it's so easy to question why. Life's full of blind corners, and you just can't see what's ahead. I'd like to pray for you. I believe it's a word in season for people here. And if that's you, this was a word in season in terms of where your life is at. Just wherever, just raise your hands up. Raise them high, all over. Come on, raise them high. Raise them high. Fantastic. Fantastic. Holy Spirit, I speak it into their spirits. There is wonderful joy ahead. Sometimes we endure not just one or two trials, but many trials, but there is wonderful joy ahead. Lord, I just believe in your precious name that any dissing that the devil does is coming to naught. We won't be ruled by disappointment. We're on a God-given assignment. We're on a God-given appointment. We trust you, Lord, with our lives. And Lord, I just speak that wonderful joy into the hearts and lives of people here. Father, have your way. Fulfill your word. Help us to know this is only for a while. It can feel like eternity, but it's only for a while, for a little while. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's give Jesus a faith clap and a faith praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Amen. And one last question. Very quickly, one last question. Can I ask you this? Have you personally ever made a conscious choice to surrender ownership of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? By a conscious choice means there was a time, there's a moment where you knew that you knew that you knew that Jesus came into your life, that you're born again, you had a brand new start. Well, there's people here, you've never really had that encounter with Jesus. Today is your day. Amen. Today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Today is your day. I'm going to pray in just a moment. First, I'll count to three. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask every single person who says, Brian, when you pray for people to make that conscious choice for Jesus, would you include me? When you pray for people to be born again, to be saved, to have that brand new start, to become a new creation, will you include me? I'd love to include you. So on three, you raise your hand. You won't be the only one. There'll be lots of hands. Or maybe at some point you made a choice for Jesus, but somewhere along the way, you've lost your way. And it's not as though God moved. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, he's the constant. He is for you. He's not against you. But we can be making choices that have us living alienated from the center of God's will. What a beautiful day to come back to Jesus in the center. What a perfect day to decide I'm getting back on board with my God-given appointment, with my God-given assignment. This is my day. This is the line in the sand. Again, if you say, Brian, when you pray for people to make that conscious choice for Jesus, Brian, when you pray for people, amen, to get right with God, to turn from their backs, Lord, when you pray for people to become new creations, would you include me? I'd love to include you. We have every eye closed everywhere. Every single person in prayer. And I'm going to count to three. And on three, if you say, Brian, please include me in that prayer. Then on three, you raise your hand. There'll be many hands. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer along with the whole congregation. This is your day. So you ready for that? You ready on three to raise your hand? If you say, Brian, include me in this prayer. Here we go. One, two, three. Lift them up. Lift them up. How powerful. How beautiful. Thank God for you. Anyone else real quick? Thank God for you. Can we all give these people a big congratulations? Come on, a big congratulations. This is a great day. And so what we're going to do, as I head back to Pastor Blunt, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you boldly, confidently, full of faith to pray this prayer after me. And of course, those of you who raise your hands, this is your day. Pray this prayer to God, not to me, obviously, to God, because today is your day of salvation. So everyone, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, this is the moment. I surrender ownership of my life. to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your salvation. I'm a child of God. Oh yes, a new creation. A follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your forgiveness and mercy. I am a believer. Jesus is alive in me. Amen. Come on, give them one more big congratulations.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.